Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Saturday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and we are so excited to bring you our new second Saturday host, Mama Joy. And we are also excited to be in the place where history is taking place, the 81st birthday celebration of Reverend Jesse L. Jackson Sr. Well, this is exciting because we get to see how when people come together, they truly can make a difference. They have the power to create change. They have the power to build a community. And that's what we're building today. We're bringing you the Neighborship of Joy. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to understand what it really takes to build a community. We have seen extremes in our neighborhoods where people have become very distant. People have gotten to the point where they don't know their neighbors. And when you don't know your neighbor, you can't work with your neighbor. So we're excited to bring Mama Joy with us to talk about the Neighborship of Joy and talk about the importance of getting to know your neighbor and working with your neighbor. And those in the urban communities have a chance to think about the power of creating urban environments where we grow our own food. That is the challenge today. To think about how we can create ways to become self-sufficient and how we can use our own power to change the conditions in our world. One of the difficulties that people in the urban community have had is that they have lost the knowledge on how to, in fact, grow food. How to make a way for them to find dirt soil that is the kind of soil that can in fact sustain life. And so because so many people have grown up in communities where they don't have the capacity, they don't have the knowledge, they have become helpless and have become dependent on those who are exploiting their ignorance. And this makes it difficult when it comes down to simply being able to feed yourself. So if you are considering taking that plot of land where you live and making it into a place where you can grow your own food, we invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. And as always, we urge you to be a part of the solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you are ready to speak, and we will gladly take your calls. We are also looking forward to you joining us on Facebook Live so we can give you some visual contact, and we can certainly give you an opportunity to write in your comments. 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we will take your comments and give you a platform to speak. I'm Naima Latif, and as always, we welcome your input. We are talking about the neighborship of joy. What does it mean to be a neighbor? What does it mean to be someone who is willing to look out for those in your midst, someone who cares about the people and their environment, someone who is going to take a stand when it comes down to making sure their neighbors' needs are met? What is it like to be that person? And what is it like when you need someone to look out for you? We all need our neighbors. We need our neighbors to make sure we're okay. We need our neighbors. We need our neighbors when it comes down to sometimes we need a ride somewhere. Sometimes we need a way to. And there's so many who have come here for this birthday celebration for Reverend Jackson, someone who,
hi, how are you?
Someone who has built a community around the world. And so we value this work that's been done, and we're looking forward to our dear sister, Mama Joy, our second Saturday host, to bring us the neighborship of joy and to talk about some of these opportunities that we have to begin to build a community and to begin to make a difference in the lives of those around us. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, you can give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. Or you can join us live on Facebook on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. You can join us live on Facebook. Just go to Facebook, the Female Solution and we will write in your comments. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you, as we always say, to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back in a moment. So just stay with us. And we will be back to bring you the Neighborship of Joy, featuring our new second Saturday host, Mama Joy. And it's always a joy to speak with Mama Joy. And you will enjoy this conversation as it gives you some insight. So we will be right back after this quick break, and the next voice you hear will be that of Mama Joy, bringing us the Neighborship of Joy. And what a joy it is to learn how to be a neighbor. And if you don't know your neighbors, make sure you get to know who they are. Make sure that you ask their names, their contact information, because one day you're going to need them. We'll be right back after this break, so stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
And we are back. You are listening to and watching the Female and Global Radio TV show. And I am Naima Latif, and we have with us, let's give her a good introduction, and let me find the applause so that we can welcome our new second Saturday host coming to the Female Solution every second Saturday so that you can be a part of the Neighborship of Joy and learn how you can create that neighborship, that community that we are all seeking and looking forward to being a part of. And we are going to learn how. Mama Joy.
Well, I declare, that was quite a welcoming, and I appreciate it so much. Because, look, for the last, look, 12 minutes, I've been stream-yarding and clicking here and there. But, you know, I appreciate
it so much. It's not you. I am having challenges. You know, anytime you're somewhere else, you deal with other people's Wi-Fi systems. And great. And,
well, but, you know, yes. And just that tad bit of information helps me to understand just how rugged and how determined you are to do what you feel you have been called to do. And so these things do not deter you from following through. And I tell you, you are quite a model to follow. I'm going to be here too. And, you know, before when I was on, you told me, you said, I take my broadcast seriously. And when it's time for a person to be here, you got to be there. And my listeners are there and taking ownership of that. And I never forgot that spanking that somebody else got when they dropped the ball. And I said, well, I don't want her kicking me like that.
Yes. Well, you know, you're a fantastic person. I'm so excited to have you part of the team. And, you know, when you're trying to be several places at one time in order to bring information, it can be a challenge. One of my devices decided to not work, so I'm like, okay, I got to figure out how to make it happen anyhow.
Because
I'm so excited about the message you're bringing today.
Yeah, it is a challenge, and I thank you so very much for that, because I had my daughter, and so we've been dilly-dallying from one thing to another, and I said, well, you know, we're just going to do this block talk. We're just going to do the block talk so you can just stay home. We don't have to go to the garden. We don't have to do this. And then when you changed it, I said, okay, well, let's see if we can get some videos. But, you know, I just say you're a champion, honey child. You're just a champion, And being a champion and being a master of your craft is not something that's just delegated to a few. All of us are endowed with that same thing, but we have to take ownership of that possession in us and step up to the plate, because we're not called to make somebody else's world. Come on. We can't put stars in somebody else's sky, okay? And we can't change anybody's community. So many of us are waiting for the leaders to come and clean our streets and to straighten up our parks. And that power is on us. That power is on us.
Okay. Yes. I just love these people. They see me with a phone up to my and an iPad, and, you know, I love them.
So I understand that you're celebrating today is Reverend Jesse Jackson's birthday. So
81st birthday. He spoke about that you've addressed in terms of how we build that community that we lost, and how we've got to take control of it, and how we've got to have an impact. And, you know, the great thing about it is that people hear all of them, and they do understand. So now, what excited me about what you had to say today was that I've been on this urban farming quest since 2020. We kicked off the pandemic farms, and pandemic stands for producing agricultural nourishment, developing economies, making independent communities. So we've been growing food in, you know, urban areas, harvesting, feeding people, eating, you know, making meals and all of that. And it's just trained my eye to see that there's so much unused land that we've just let go, and so many plants that are growing that we don't know their purpose. And when you, I noticed the difference between rural and urban people. With rural people, they're much friendlier. They're much more social, and they share food, and there's something about that that builds community that we miss in the urban areas where everybody goes grocery shopping at the supermarket, and nobody talks to anybody, and everybody's afraid of everybody. So just having that agricultural culture made a difference, and when we lost that, we lost our community, and we lost a lot of the camaraderie, and we lost the skills of being able to feed ourselves, and so we created a culture of poverty because you have to wait for somebody else can feed you, and then that means you have to do the work that they say you can do in order to get paid, and then if they don't give you a job, then you can't eat. So we've created this helplessness. So you've been involved with this, and you say your daughter is doing some work. Tell us about that, and then after the break, we'll maybe go in and, you know, see a few people that are at this April's birthday.
Okay. Well, yeah, you're at a party, a celebration. Yeah, that's amazing because even a birthday is about a planting of a seed. Each one of us is planted in our mother's womb, planted in that earth. And when we don't understand our relationship with the earth, then we take for granted what we see because we never taught how it got to be. Okay? And so I hear you saying we lost it, but I'm here to say that we had something at one time. We had a good neighborship, but we never were taught how to build it. We never were taught how to maintain it. So you're going to lose something if it's a privilege that you are born into and you never learn the principle of how to plant and how to nurture life, because it's all a part of life. We're all a part of this awesome bouquet of God, the Creator's life, and we have not been taught. You know, with this Block Club, let me just give you a little history on that, because, see, I'm from New Orleans, and coming from New Orleans in the South, we were neighbors, and we shared, and I know when Sundays were, because people were bringing plates. You know, you go to your door, and you see a neighbor bringing the plate down the street to Mr. So-and-so who lost his wife, and he doesn't cook, or somebody's bringing a pan of food someplace else because another neighbor can't get out. See, I saw that, but I did not know. And wait, I saw it, but I took it for granted because I just thought that was something that people did. That's what you do. But I was never taught. I was never sat down and said, hey, this is what you have to do. This is what good neighborshiping is. Joy, you have to love your neighbors. You take care of each other. I never was taught that. I can't say everybody else, nobody else was, but I wasn't. And so I grew up during the 60s, of course, you know, when the world was changing for us all. And I came to Chicago, and I was a renter. And then I learned about Block Club meetings and neighbors sitting down and discussing how they wanted change in their neighborhood and how they were going to organize themselves. I'd never been a part of that. That to me was another form of government that I had never seen and never been exposed to. And so when I got my own home, I realized I took with me that learning that there was power in this thing called a Block Club. And then the Spirit moved me to say, but you share it in the spirit of family. Spirit of family. I said, oh, okay, that sounds good too. Embracing the fact that we're all one. Am I cut off of this? Am I off? Are you there?
Oh, no, I just muted the sound a little bit because I moved into a noisy room. But you're absolutely right. That, no, you can tell the difference when I open the mic. Yeah. The whole Block Club organization is such a foundation. And, you know, I've last couple of years, we restarted our Block Club where I live because of a tragedy. A young man was he pulled out a gun and was shooting at somebody right outside of my home. And my daughter, she's sitting in the front room and she's watching. She's horrified because we've never had that kind of thing happen. And that just caused us to spring into action. And we went door to door. We got everybody's name, contact information, email and everything. And so we meet every month and we plan events. We planned, had a big block club celebration recently this summer, our second annual one, events for the children and all of that. Because you have to know your neighbors. Know your neighbor's children. That's the mistake that we made when we stopped knowing our neighbor's children. And you have to plan wholesome activities for them. And they need to know you and be able to address you by name. You need to be able to address them by name. When we lost that and everybody got afraid, when they see teenagers gather on the corner and sit up saying, oh, hey, Joe, hey, Ella, you know, and we were calling the police. Like, I think teenagers down here.
They don't
want
to know their name.
Yes.
They don't want to know their names, okay? When you call their name, they know they got to do something different because you know who they are.
Yeah. Mm. I know who you are. That means I know your mama, I know your daddy, and I know where you live. So when I know all that about you, you're not going to do anything wrong because I know you. But when everybody's anonymous, that's when we are in trouble.
Mm. And that's exactly what we did here. And I congratulate you for your year of block clubbing. We've been doing for 30 years. Mm-hmm.
We had been doing it like for the past 50 years because we've been in our house. My mother's father's house. Now I'm back at the house taking care of my mother. But for 60 years, you know, we formed a block club when everybody moved there. But then they kind of fell by the wayside. People got older and they left. The children left. But when that shooting happened, we sprang into action and said, we got to revive this. We cannot be unorganized.
That's the word, revived it. You revived it. You had something and it was lost, but you were able to go back because you remembered.
Go back,
and you could revive
it.
You could revive it. But I never knew anything about it. And that was amazing to me when I came to Chicago because I had never heard of it. And when I got involved with when I got involved with the block club, I was a renter, and the homeowners didn't know what to do about me being there because their issues was always about the people that live in these apartments. And here I was.
Right.
I live in the apartment. But I told them I have children here, and I'm still a neighbor.
Yeah.
So you can't reject me. Well, we have dues. I said, well, I pay the dues. But the point is I'm here. And I want to be a part of sustaining this neighborhood quality for my children. So they didn't understand it, but anyway, I eventually learned that I was serious about my doing here. But again, coming back when I got here, and also coming back here is the fact when I spoke of the block club, I said, "Well, we're family, and we're one, and we're neighbors, and we're relatives." You know, and we're mom and dads, and that is taking on a mature attitude about where you stay and being responsible for the quality of the life that's in your block. You know, many of us, like I said, I wasn't taught that.
That is right.
Yeah. I wasn't taught
that. Well, that's
what
we have to teach our children now. So in a minute before we take a break. Yes, it has to be taught. So in a minute before we take a break. Oh, well, I guess it's about time for the break now. But we will be right back after this break, and we're going to give you all just a glimpse of what we're seeing here at this 80th birthday celebration. Bring you back with Mama Joy. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Right back. Right back. Stay with us. Yeah. She said she was having problems with the
And we'll be right back. Yes, my mom.
Are you there, Pearl? Where's this? Oh, God, what is this?
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services.
With a simple blood test and food plan, Susan Essentials will help your business, your family, and you eliminate toxins and create a step-by-step plan to nourish your mind, body, and spirit. Click here to learn more.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection. Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Right, and we are back, and we're going to,
and I know you're there at a party at Reverend Jesse Jackson's birthday. I thought his birthday was some time back, but I guess I had to jump on it, but that's wonderful that you're there. I was able to get to the director of the community garden, Pearl. She was on StreamYard waiting for you. So I went over on Block Talk. So she, that's the number. Oh, wow, it ends with 81. I'm not sure of all the numbers.
Yeah, well, tell them to meet me on StreamYard at 20 minutes. I'll be able to be visual then. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Is she on the Block Talk studio?
Yeah, she's
She should be there.
Okay,
yeah.
Tell her to press 1. I've got several numbers here. Tell her to press 1. So I'll
okay, press 1, Carol. I think this is a really good understanding that, because that's one of the things about the neighborship of joy, Naima, is that we're dedicated to not just creating, but educating leadership. You know, we think that, people will just come up. But no, we can create leaders when they're young by educating them. You know, work through developing and putting skills in our block clubs, letting them know that this is something that is part of a legacy. We do not want the block clubs to just be here for now and not for later. So if you take on that spirit of family, then you know automatically that you're going to have some offsprings, or you're going to create some offsprings if you don't have children, so that the work that you have done in love can continue. And that's what we are really promoting here on the neighborship of joy in the community, and knowing that love is also something that has to be taught. We take for granted, oh, honey, yeah, everybody wants to love, but do we really know what love is? Because if you love, then your fruits, you should be able to see evidence of that in your community. Love, you should be able to see evidence of it in your family. And so when we see things happening around us, and as you said, when the shooting occurred on your block and it put you all into action to, hey, we got to come together, right? So you once experienced having that block club, so you were able to revive it, and you revive it in love, taking phone numbers and getting into action because you already knew it. You had been educated. You had been exposed to it, so you knew what happened. You could take on that leadership position because you already recognized that that was needed in that time and snap your block back into it. And that's what we're doing here, too. And in the process of doing it, we also have a second generation, which I'm proud to say, and that's my daughter and other young women and men who have come together. And what they're doing is not just, it's an extension of love from the community to the garden. And so they have done planting, and through that, the neighborship community, COME-UNITY, UNITY, of joy. And so they have had events for mental health. They've had different presentations in the garden and showing us what is available to us through the cities and through other networking with other organizations, things that you can do to help you to bring about another setting that neighbors can come together and learn of each other. Because really, even with Gandhi, you know, it's important for us, at least for me to understand and to share with others, is that we don't have the all-knowing philosophy. We don't have all the knowledge that we need by ourselves, because the spirit of love and light is shining on the whole planet. So wherever you can get inspiration from and be motivated, that's what you have to do. You know, just think about it. Papayas came from India, right? So if it wasn't for the for that nation of people, you know, we wouldn't have papayas here. I can remember in the movie when Queen Elizabeth asked, she was being told by Brother Abdullah, her servant, about the papaya. She said, I'd never heard of it. And so they were told that it was so expensive to have a papaya shipped over to England. How could they do it? She said, well, I want a papaya. And so sure enough, they were able to, through whatever ingenuity they had, brought a papaya so that she could eat it because she had never had it. And so things that we take for granted in terms of the fruits that we have, the vegetables, the flowers, are not something that we alone in this earth are native to. These are things that's been brought in. And so I look at knowledge in the same way. See, life and death is in the tongue. And so the spirit of how we words and words that we use help us to grow. And so when Gandhi said, you be the change that you want, You know, if we want change, then you be it. And so that's what I see happening in my neighborhood right now, is that we are working on it, and through the youth of my daughter and other neighbors, they are definitely making a difference in the community, because they have taken on that ownership of being the change. And so we are now into the cleaning up of every Saturday and moving me into it. So we're all divine children of our Creator here on this earth, and this is our home. And listen to this, Naima. H-O-M-E. What does that mean to me? Well, this
that is exactly
this
right.
It's H-O-M-E, yes. heaven on Mother Earth. Heaven
yeah. now,
on Mother Earth.
That's right. Now, the number I'm looking for, 504-357. Is that the number I'm looking for?
Yeah.
On the switchboard. Okay, let me open our mic. Yeah.
Open the mic.
All right.
Okay, so I'm introduce you to
all right, yes.
Pearl Halima Ramsey, who is the director of the Community Garden here on the East Wing of Chatham in Southside, Chicago.
Am I on? Can
yep,
you hear
you're
me?
On. We hear you. Yep, we hear you. How are you?
Awesome. First, thank you. I just want to first say thank you and mad gratitude to Naima for the consistency in these platforms and just creating spaces for people all across the world and for melanated people to be able to share all the good that they are bringing into the world, because that's so important. Simply because of the fact that we do live in a world that oftentimes we measure our impact based on notoriety or based on who we value in terms of esteem, and how we feel that if certain people may not know us, then maybe we're not doing work that is effective. But what I know is that the people that really transform the world, the people on the ground, what really transform our environment is the roots, not the branches. So the roots, everything that has really any substance that has continual flow begins in the root. And I don't. And as a individual that is continually growing from the garden and being taught by nature, is that the real system of our environment and our growth, it all starts in the root. I don't care how beautiful the tree, the leaves, or how beautiful the fruit is, it is nothing without the roots. So just mad respect to all of you who continually to support platforms and those on the ground who are doing the work. Mad respect to my mother and all those that come from my line who helped to shape who I have chosen to become in this world. I have great regard for just how my mother demonstrated community. It was not what she said. It was more what she did. So having that as
wow.
a blueprint helped to give me tools. She gave me tools. And what I've learned in life is that no matter what we possess in terms of gifts or talents, what makes us most effective in this world is tools, the ability
yeah,
to be able to execute the things that we feel we have been given vision from God. It is the ability to sort of like apply it. So I just want to just give honor to that.
Well, that is so inspirational. Well, I am excited about the program you're doing. So, Mama Joy, I'm going to be quiet for the next 15 minutes, and I'm going to let you take it away and give us a chance to know how is this working, and how can other organizations, how can other community groups do what your daughter is doing? We want to know. So I'll be quiet. Let you handle it from here.
All right, and it's my understanding that one, then we're going to go to StreamYard. We're going to add StreamYard to this. Or are we going to stay on Block Talk?
Yes, we'll add StreamYard at the top of the hour, you know, in 15 minutes, and then we'll add StreamYard. Yes.
Okay, then we'll do StreamYard. Well, this is amazing. So who's going to hide you? How you like that? Sure. Okay, I'll see you at 1 o'clock, which is about 10 more minutes. Well, thank you so much. You have really pumped me up. I'm wondering, hey, can I stand all of that? You just showered on me. I appreciate that, you Pearl. Yeah, well, we want to thank you so much for being a part of this maiden launching here of the Neighborship of Joy to the community. And earlier today I was sharing with Naima the fact that I was just totally blown away when I came to Chicago and learned about block clubs, because that was something I had never been exposed to. And when I discovered it, when we lived on Clyde, you were quite small then, but Saginaw, I learned about it. And as a renter, they didn't want renters in the block club. They wanted it only for homeowners. And I told them, my children live on this block. And my children is among homeowners and others' children. And that qualifies me for being a part of the block club. So after I was so strong about it, they finally let me become a part of it. But that's where I began to learn about ownership and coming together with others of like concerns for their properties and for the children. And when I came here, this was the first opportunity that I had to actually be a homeowner. And I still kept that concern, that information a part of me. And I look forward to being a change maker. Whereas in the other parts of my apartment life, I had that one opportunity, but for the other apartments that we lived in, I wasn't able to participate, but I never lost that knowledge. And so, What I am impressed now is that you're coming here, and then second generations, others are coming back, which is something that is not necessarily happening in other communities. The young people are coming back, and what you are offering them is not only an opportunity to participate in the community, but also extend their energies into learning about gardening. And what is the connection between that you feel is between gardening and individuals who live in the community? Is there some principle or something that is relative to living in the neighborhood?
I'm listening. So let me phrase it again. At the same time, I'm at this I Am Expo. It's for people with disabilities. And a young woman, she created, and I'm helping to serve a plate at the same time. And what I will say, in terms of gardening, in terms of principle, one of the things that gardening has really, really given me is the virtue of patience and timing, and that no matter how anxious we may feel in terms of being able to, where you want to sit at, in terms of our abilities, is that everything has a divine timing. And so sometimes we measure our success based on others around us, or even our, and even our need to produce right away. You know, because we're excited with our visions and dreams. But no matter how a plant, how a seed is watered, and no matter how much sun it gets, it still has a timing, a maturation process. And also it has a season in which it's best for it to bring forth fruit. And so knowing that each of us are born into this world as an answer to prayers that others have through our line have brought up, you know, before God and before the Spirit, in terms of how our particular line would manifest healing and transformation in our world, everything has a divine timing, meaning that the crisis in our world is going to produce and bring forth the immediacy of what it is that you feel you bring into the world. I've learned, like in sugarcane, one of the ways to bring forth the seed in the ground for sugarcane is you have to burn the soil, because it doesn't bring forth the seed unless there's a certain intensity of heat. So certain seeds will not come forth unless it has enough intensity, unless the heat is hot enough. And some of us may feel that way in terms of our life's trials, that challenges that constantly come. But everything in life is about what's inside of you. It is not about what you're doing wrong, or sometimes we feel as if things don't come out in a certain way in terms of our interpretation of our life, that maybe we're doing something wrong. But it has to do with the type of intensity in terms of the anointing or in terms of the endowment or the deposit that's on your life. To whom much is given, much is required. So gardening for me has really produced patience. The greatest gift and the greatest virtue that I could have acquired in my life, being one that's very creative and, you know, often impatient about what it is that I feel I can bring into the world. So I've learned to just breathe a lot more and learn to just sit back, realizing that my purpose is not autonomous, that I am a part of a collective, and perhaps people that I've never met, that we are part of a collective, and all of us are getting aligned and in order for such a time as this, whatever that time might be. But our world does need those healers. It does need those beacons of light. It does need for those who are audacious about what they bring into the world to be fearless enough to not lose ground and to not allow situations to cause us to falter in our being steadfast about what it is and who we are. Just stay on your post. Just be the seed and be the plant that you are. Yes, a couple of days ago we planted persimmon trees, and peach trees and persimmon trees, certain trees, they need male and female in order for them to bring forth fruit. So one can flower, one can be a flowering fruit, another can be a pollinating tree, but they both need each other. So certain trees are planted, and certain trees, they grow and they have both the male and female within, and they're able to produce. So it takes time to know what type of seed you are in the earth and to not judge the way that you grow, to not judge your experience and to be so critical, especially if you're a person that is invested in being a best, better version of yourself. If your path has always been about, you know, cultivating strengths that will ultimately create the discipline you need to be better, just give yourself grace and time you need to celebrate it. Just give yourself the grace you need to breathe life into what you have planted, and trust that all the things and all of the people that are aligned in order for you to fully blossom are here and they are coming. But gardening is really, really great for really allowing me to understanding this, understanding the process of seed, sower, planting, harvest, and knowing when that season needs to rest, knowing your season for rest, knowing that when it's the close of the gardening season, when the ground needs to just rest, it freezes over, but it's the season for resting. And so I'm always learning, and the garden has become a space that what I provide for people is also what I need. So I know I don't just participate in activities that are just about what I bring for other people, because I know what I bring. I know how I change atmospheres because I know the work that I've done on myself. And I don't expect that to be any less. I expect that to multiply even greater in every space that I'm in. But I don't have to work hard for it, because the work that we do to build, it multiplies in every space that we're in, and we just have to trust that it's happening, even if we don't necessarily see the results that we deem as measures of statistical analysis. Like, it's happening. And that's the process of trusting this natural relationship with the environment. You never see trees fighting against themselves. You never, ever see seeds fighting against itself. So I think the greatest thing, especially for just melanated people, is to give themselves an opportunity to process carbon, to know that our skin alone, just relationship with the sun, has the ability to transform all the pain in our life into power. And we and not judge how it's happening, but it is happening. And so yes, the space is there, and I welcome anyone to come and just sit in it and allow themselves to just breathe in whatever is necessary. It's always present. And you don't even have to be in the garden for that. It's just a space that's cultivated for that. But at every moment, everything you need is always in you, because the fact that you exist is already evidence that everything you need has been provided for. A seed is never, ever begging any other plant for nutrients in order for it to grow. A seed already has within it everything it needs for it to produce what it was designed to produce. And that is the wealth of our lives.
A seed never begs another for its existence or what it needs. Wow. I never heard that. Never. But you're right. It has everything. Mm-hmm. Wow, that is really amazing. That's amazing. I mean, that thought, I would oftentimes say, you know, like a tree. You look at the seed, but you don't see the leaves in the seed. I look at the seed, I don't see the branches. I don't see the blooms. I don't even see the trunk of the tree. I see nothing but a seed. But in that seed, and the principle of whatever that seed is, if it's an apple seed or you see a persimmon tree or a peach tree, you will know it by its roots. But everything starts within that tiny seed. And then you said something that I need you to explain. You said, you know the work that you have done on yourself. So I know what I bring. I know what I bring when I come to the table for something. I know. What kind of work did you have to do on yourself to come to that, not just the ownership, come to the ownership of what you bring, the power, but to keep humble and to keep duplicating what it is that you do, because you are growing and you are getting people and you are progressing. And how do you do that? How do you equate that with the work that you're doing on yourself?
Because
people say, I've been working on me, but you take ownership and you say, I know what I bring. Because I've worked on myself. That's a totally different thing rather than I'm working on myself, and I'm still working on myself. But I never hear, I know what I bring because I worked on myself. That's different.
Well, I think the greatest gift that I've just been able to give myself is the gift of surrender, meaning that I don't have to diminish the assets of my life while I am also accepting of my own limitations, like the areas in my life that are, I've given myself grace to fail and to disappoint others. Not because that's what I desire to do, but I know that I will, because there's just so much infinitely to be known. So I give, you know, the space for God to teach me. So I think I stay in a place of, you know, that I know that I am always learning, and I'm excited about the learning process, but it doesn't diminish those things that I've mastered. So I'm very, very careful about and very discerning about the spaces that I'm in. I listen to my spirit and I trust it. That's not always what I've done. I was very self-sabotaging, extremely judgmental and hurtful. And when I realized one moment I was having suicidal thoughts, which were very frequent for me, and I was dealing with some criticisms, and I was in a room by myself, and I was feeling good, and all of a sudden I began to feel low. And I remember God just showed me in that moment, like, who else is in the room with you, Pearl? And it was nobody. Like, I really went from a high to a low in a matter of a thought. And I realized that my repetition of certain types of thoughts was creating a certain type of level of defeat. I began to take ownership of my conversations, and I began to realize that the things that I was saying to myself, if my very own daughter had said to me that someone or a friend of hers was saying this to them, I would tell them they're not your friend. And I realized that I had to treat myself like my own daughter. I had to be tender and kind and gentle, understanding that a pervasiveness and the darkness that sometimes we experience in this world only has a place when we agree with it, that nothing in this world really has authority over us until we agree and become complicit. And so just giving myself room to just surrender to being taught by all of my experiences and by all the teachers that I would encounter throughout my day without feeling as if I had to lose a sense of knowing about my value and worth in this world that was beautiful, and allow myself room to be able to not be others expectations or myself. So that's still a constant work, but I'm so much better, definitely so much more kind. And I'm just much more careful at the words that I say. And because of those conversations I have with myself, I'm much more present with others and careful to not agree with conversations or words that don't align with who I'm becoming.
Yes, 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 yes. That is a very important point, to know that these conversations persist because you are in agreement with them. And for most people, they're not even aware of that. I mean, that's profound. Thank you. That's really, that's so personal. It's so personal and powerful and painful too. So I thank you for the courage of sharing that deeply with us. I'm going to check to see if Naima is back on here and ready to do that switch because it's 103. Are you still with us, Naima? She's probably working on that.
Yes. Well, give us about 5 minutes. We're going to be set up on StreamYard, and it will bring you back in, and we'll be right back. We'll be taking a break in about 5 minutes, and then we'll be on StreamYard.
All right. Sounds like a winner to me. Sounds like a winner to me. Now, you know what I want you to do? Identify those two things you said that they need a male and a female. You know, I knew about the coyote pairs we didn't call them coyote pairs. That's what Hispanics call them. But, and I forgot, melatonins. We call them melatonins. And with the melatonins, if you plant them separately, you'll get a flower. But if you plant them together, you'll get plants. You'll get fruits, more fruits. So I didn't know it was trees back then, too. So which trees were that you were speaking that you were planting in the garden?
This week we were planting persimmon trees, and also peach trees are another fruit tree that need the male and female in order for them to bring forth fruit. One pollinate. Yeah, peach trees too.
Peach tree, and you need, so if you're going to plant a peach tree, you should be planting two peach trees. Is
yes.
that right?
Yeah. But what I've also learned too is some systems with trees also are able to work together through a root system of communication, where maybe if you don't have the male and female of their species, but you have other fruit trees that are planted, and if they bring forth pollinators, that it can also be beneficial to those systems.
And so a tree, if it's planted and it's neither a male or a female and it doesn't have it, it will get, if you have another tree in its area, it will help it to produce fruit. Is that what
yes.
you're saying?
Yes.
And when did you learn this?
You know, and that's what I said about the garden, is that it's always teaching me. And so I'm just like, because of the fact that I'm in a I'm in an environment that is foreign to anything that I would have chosen for myself. I didn't necessarily choose a garden because of the fact that I felt that I had some natural proclivities for it. It was quite the opposite. I just wanted to connect in a way to community. And the garden became a neutral space to have conversations that weren't, that would disarm people from the need to deficit. So many subjects, oftentimes when it comes to us, particularly Black American, because of the intentional sabotage to our communities, we will oftentimes just without even thinking start having conversations about the depravity, about the lack. And I know that that's real, and I want those conversations to happen. I just don't want it to always feel forced. Gardening disarms people from the need to focus on anything but life. It disarms them in a way that they start talking about their potential. They start talking about their desires and their hopes for a better world. It creates a conversation that organically, it provokes thoughts about things that they're capable of. And I love that space. Is that so it became this sort of like nucleus for building conversations that caused us to reflect on our humanity, our potential, and our purpose beyond the environment that was, you know, forcing and inducing strife and stress.
Yeah, take you into
so I started learning that.
Yeah, abundance. Yes. You're talking about conversations of creating abundance, creating prosperity, a new way of a new meaning for words that you take for granted, but you expanding to a new kind of vision which is applicable to your life, that you can prosperity that you can identify with.
I'm rest.
Abundance that you can identify with. Huh?
Right.
That you
exactly.
can grasp and hold. It makes I'm feeling you now. I'm feeling you. I'm feeling you now. A neutral space for community to discuss abundance, prosperity, good health, huh? Mental mastering over certain mental, emotional things, because it's all there in the garden. Garden lessons for wholeness. Wow, I ask you, where'd you get this from? Did you get out of school? No, there are things that the garden can teach you. Wow.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Is that George Washington Carver? That's the Carver we were talking about, the plant doctor. He didn't learn it in this book. The plants taught him.
They taught him, exactly.
He learned from the plants. Oh, my stars. Well, now you have really brought the past. That's why I wouldn't say, hey, don't look back in the past. No. With you saying what you're saying, I'm saying you are an extension of this man's awesome work. And life does have lessons that teach us profoundly. And so I know what you're giving to me is something very new. But it's digestible. How about that? And most time when people hear new truth, they're reluctant or they reject it, you know? But it's good. And I embrace that. So thank you so very, very much on that. So when you say you come to the table, you know what you're bringing. And you bring in information in a different way. Hi. Is that Naeem or is that your crew? I know both of you all are in a busy place. And Naeem is at at where's she at? She's at Push at Operation Push. And you said you're at a function right now. This is something that
the IM Expo. It's called the IM Expo, and it's a young woman of Black American woman. She created this expo for people in our community with disabilities. So it addresses the disabilities, whether they be physical or emotional, but she wanted to bring voice. She wanted to bring voice to a demographic that oftentimes, and so she's doing brilliant things, and the artists in our community that may have been diagnosed with disabilities, but it does not rule out their humanity and potential. So I just was volunteering to assist her, and it was an amazing event. There's also a lot of free resources, like, for instance, for even adults, the Art Institute has classes. There's a woman here that was talking about the free classes, and literally only 20% of those people are from Illinois that are in the Art Institute. And less than it's an even less amount from Chicago. So those are resources that are provided, and sometimes it's in those spaces that we may not think to look. But there's a lot of resources. There's a lot of wealth in terms of the dreams that many of us have and the things that we see that's possible. But sometimes we may not step outside of our alliances or comfort zones, but there's a lot of great things happening in our communities and a lot of money. So if your dream, whatever you were given, is possible.
Well, with the Art Institute that you're speaking about with resources, how can one get in touch with
I can send the information. One of them is a grant for youth. I'm going to get that application. They have free tickets for CPS students. There are free classes on their website. I'm going to be speaking to the woman, Asia, who was on the panel, and she's going to be sending me the information and applications for young people and even for higher education for people from 18 to 64 to 80 to 90, where there are free courses available that people don't take advantage of. Through the Art Institute, I'll get that information to you, and you can email it to those that are on the call and on the training.
What I'm thinking about is because what you're doing as we have developed our neighborhood link list, that there that through the grace of the of Yahweh, a creator, that you're being exposed to a lot of things that are already existing that we have no knowledge of, but
right.
are very needed in our community. And perhaps maybe, not no maybe, but we could create a community board, you know, and direct people in our network towards so that they can, again, I guess garden lessons, or however you want to put them, neighborhood bulletin board, a community board, to avail us to this information, because there are people who are seeking some of these things. And there, and what happens is, this is another observation. If you say they don't have anything for you, then you won't find anything. If you are saying, ain't nothing here for us, then there won't be anything for us. You know what I'm saying? So your attitude of finding and taking ownership of the fact that you are in this garden and there's abundance there, that there's abundance that of information, abundance of avenues, and abundance of paths, the abundance of opportunities, that our own thought processes block us simply because we say it's not there.
Right.
But you're finding it. See what I'm saying? It
right.
blocks the universe from feeding you and pouring into you what you need because you say they don't have it because you're looking for something else. I'm not realizing that the power of attracting this is in you and in the word and your conversation that you hear from you.
Exactly. The moment you acknowledge that I am means everything you need to be is already there. And I love this story of about the Magi. They call them the three wise men in terms of the birth of Christ. What I love is that the reason why they knew he was born was because of the constellations, meaning they were paying attention to their environment. They also knew the prophecies. There was a prophecy that was spoken that he would come. So they were expecting it. So you're looking at the reason why they were wise is because they were expecting that what was spoken was coming to pass. Whatever it is that God has put in your heart, it is so. So having an attitude and a position and a posture in life of expectation so that you can see the shifts in your environment that are aligning you to that direction. And the interesting thing is that they knew by the star that that he would come based on the constellations and the positioning of the stars and the positioning of the planets. And what ended up happening was they found out, they knew where he was. They didn't have a GPS. They didn't have a guide. They knew exactly where that particular alignment would be. When they went, they heard the Spirit say, now go home by another way. And this was the decree that was given at the time by the king for the genocide of children, to murder the children under two. But they heard, they didn't hear the decree, they just heard, go home another way. What does that mean? It's always being available to redirect your strategy. So maybe something did not work in that way, or maybe you had success in that way, but it's not rendering that same success. Try another way. But always with the expectation of knowing that because I am, and that's the greatest word, I am that I am. The fact that you're able to say that I am means that you're alive. And if you're alive and living, things are flowing in your direction at all times. Mm-hmm. Even adversity mm-hmm. is working. It's working to strengthen areas in your life that need for mm-hmm. you to be able to stand firm and be like that tree planted by rivers of living water. Everything is working for mm-hmm. your good. And it's true. It's so mm-hmm. true. It's all working for your good. And so it's that particular positioning of being able to know that the moment you say I am, then everything you need is also.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, wow. That is so powerful.
Woo!
That is so powerful. That is so very powerful. And that's what I've been kind of working on. You're saying something I've been repeating to myself. I am that I am. Beautiful. I am that I am. Amazing. I am that I am. You know? Wow. Generous. I am that I am. Powerful. Now that is, I am that I am. And you have the power to make that change. And you, if whatever corrections you feel, you are that. You can do that. You have the power to do that. You have the power to do that. I am just so taken back by what you're speaking, Pearl. It's really amazing. It's really amazing. And this young lady that you're speaking about, who has constructed this program here, how long has she been in the business of this?
The I Am Expo, and I can send the link so you all can look at her name is Sophia. She's called Sophia, or we call her Faya, F-Y-A. And she has people with all types of disabilities, seen and those unseen, an amazing buffet for lunch, really healthy. And it's at the Gary Comer Youth Center. This is her first expo, but she has been advocating for Blacks in Southside, those with disabilities, to bring resources. So she's a great resource and connected to the community in ways that when she could not find the resources she needs, she started fighting for it. And so she's bringing those resources to our community and on the South Side. And people who are also engaged and involved with the advocacy for those with disabilities and just with our community in general and bringing them together. And there's just really an amazing panel of people that are here. And I'm just really proud of her. So I just wanted to volunteer to support her. And I'll send that information to you, and you can forward it to Naima for the listeners that are interested.
That would be really super. And, again, she has been around for even if it's a short while, but she's making headlines and she's impacting on the community. And, again, she is showcasing community that people are not even aware are and are in need of being visible, so that they can shine too, offering opportunities that they can shine. They can shine.
Absolutely.
They can
absolutely
shine. Isn't that something? We all deserve that. We all
absolutely
deserve that. I agree. I agree. Well, I tell you, I am so amazed on this, and I don't know what happened to Naima, and I have lost the stream yard. I've lost the stream. It's amazing how this technology can be a blessing, and then it can also be a headache too.
Right.
It can be a headache sometimes too. But
y'all work around. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm so grateful for your prayers and your continuous bringing light to us and our community, and being unselfish. Hello, being unselfish, because we need people who are going to share information and not keep it to themselves, you know, because that's how we can grow. And and I'm happy to know that you have grown. And I mean, truly, that's a blessing. You have grown to that. So I was hoping that we were, oh, well, you're not in the position anyway to show any videos. Okay. So, how can we duplicate what you have, or because you're not just with gardening, you're also working with some young people, and tell us how you're using that garden to inspire young people. I know some of them have, since they've been working with you, have become independent and starting to do some independent work with their talents. So how is this garden and with the work you're doing impacting on young people?
Well, absolutely. Like the artists and the people that have come, one thing the garden has been a space where I've just wanted people to come and be there because they want it there. And a lot of people, you know, have been like, oh, why don't you start a 501c3 or what? And, you know, but the thing is that, number one, I don't want to do it, a 501c3, because of the administrative, the personal decision. Only thing I would say to people is start where you are. You just have to trust that what you're doing, like, just start where you are. Like, what fuels us in terms of any of our passions and dreams is that we just are consistent. And the relationship that's been built with the artist has just been one that has just come with, I wanted people to be in this space because they wanted to be there, not because I need help. And it wasn't a despair. I always did what I had the grace to do. So in terms of the garden, I always did what I knew I could do, that I could do with love, that I could do with my own resources, but I never was depleted. This garden has never drained me of resources. It has done the opposite. So I've never, ever felt like, because I've done that before. I've had visions and I've produced things that have drained me physically and financially, because I was doing them, you know, in the beginning things start noble, but you start feeling resentful when you don't get the help. Start feeling resentful when the money, certain things don't come. So that also had an impact on what I was receiving. It's because no matter, the work was not as important as the spirit by which I was doing it. So no matter how noble our intentions, if the spirit that which we're doing it is does not match the energy that we want, because in terms of manifestation, the spirit only responds to spirit. So we can decorate the work and it can be as beautiful and as noble and complimentary as, you know, any work historically that we would love for people to go, oh, you're doing such a great work, but if the spirit isn't right. But God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And so also everything in terms of invisible reality is also spirit, but it's still a very real government. So it only responds to spirit. So the nature by which I was doing things before, even though it was a good work, I was still doing it from fear. I was still doing it, you know, from a place where I felt like I needed to work it. I got to make these calls. And so I was working hard. This time around, I just do it from a place of grace. I do it from a place of plenty. I do it from a place of wealth. I never, ever feel the need to deplete myself. So those that come into this space, I'm never like, we need to help our community. I want people to help. And I'm like, honey, I want you to be here because this is where you want to be. Because there's no pressure on me then. So if you come in this space, the spirit is there. So if it doesn't align with you, don't be here. Be wherever you're supposed to be.
If it doesn't
find the
allow
place
you
that you connect to, right? So the youth that are producing are people that are aligned with that same spirit, because I don't feel obligated to mentor. They just started calling me their mentor. It's not that I can't mentor, but I don't. I just want to be aligned with those that are aligned with my life. So when the youth started coming in, they started calling me their mentor, and they started bringing their friends. It just started happening organically because it was just spirit begets spirit. I never did marketing about it. I would just support. I was like, the space is yours. I want to support what you're doing. And I would buy what they needed to make sure. And then they would start soliciting vendors and start hosting events on their own and bringing in other artists. That's what they were doing. And it empowered them to be able to trust their capacity while having a community that just wanted to support their agency without feeling like I needed to own them. I didn't need the credit because I don't, because I feel great as an individual, not based on outcomes or how other people transcribe my story, but I feel great. And it's not something that I can articulate because it's not based on things. It's just I've seen so much maturity in myself. I've grown so much in not needing for other people to validate the work or the work that I'm doing. But so I feel good knowing that they are empowered to finish the work that they've been called to do. And they feel it because I'm doing the work I've been called to do.
My God, that is amazing. And I don't have control over the board because Naima's here. So I don't know if there's anyone wanted to make any comments about what you have
said.
Well,
welcome back. I'm back, and we've got a caller. We're going to take your call before we take a break, and then we'll be back on StreamYard after the break.
Thank you so much.
We've got Eric calling 773-221. Go right ahead. You got about a minute before we take a break. Go right ahead with your question or comment for our host and guest.
Yes, thank you. I think that the nature of a spirit is the self-same as the nature of a person's energy of intention. The energy of intention is always going to manifest one way or the other, even if what a person manifests seems contrary to the true nature of their energy of intention. We're going to have 10 cities in pandemic gardens, herbs in Horto. And I'm going to explain that as time goes on, as Andrew Nelson becomes Chicago's next mayor.
Well, Andrew Nelson, I appreciate your ambition, and hey, go for it. We're going to take a break, and Andrew has been one of our staunch supporters of Pandemic Farms and definitely a visionary. So we're going to take a quick break, and if you'd like to try your StreamYard connection now, we'll do that. And then we've got a caller at 773-577. So we will be right back after this quick break. We want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. You are here on the Neighborship of Joy with Mama Joy. And we will be right back after this quick break. So we want you to just stay put and call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll be right back. So.
All righty. Thank you so much, girl. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, wow.
Hey.
I'm going to have this edited because this is coming from.
We're going to be back with Mama Joy and our special guest giving us some tips, some more tips on how we can build that community. That is what's going to make the difference. And so we want you to stick and stay with us. Call in 515-605-9325 to the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And we will take your call in just one moment.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness sessions on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show, as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
I believe in the power. Thank you. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Well, we've had quite a conversation. Are you still over at the Reverend Jesse Jackson?
Yes. Well, I'm still as a matter of fact, we're broadcasting live. I'm in front of the national headquarters of the Rainbow Push Coalition. And this has been a wonderful day in realizing the meaning for all of this, and that is for us to rebuild our communities. And when we do that, all our problems will be solved, the crime problem that Dr. Wilson talked about and the issues that we have with our youth. When we can just build a community, like you've been saying, when we can do that, then that is what is going to make a difference. And for those of us who are wondering how do we get involved, well, like you've been saying, you know, we've got to reach out so that we can make a difference. And we can get to know our neighbors.
We don't have to reach very far. That's just the thing that one doesn't understand. You don't have to go too far. You just need to just go next door to your neighbor. You start with your neighbors. I'm trying to think of the prophet that said, just build a wall to meet your neighbor's wall, you know, and how you can protect yourself. You just one meet the other and conversations. And that's one of the things that we've done. And also Pearl initiated with others in her organization to institute a cleanup day every Saturday between 10 and 11 o'clock, and just get out and clean and talk with your neighbors. That is a powerful thing. Pearl, can you our guest today is Pearl Ramsey from the Neighborship Community. It's two words, COME-Unity, UNITY, Community. that to me is an invitation. Come on, let's unite
in our neighborhoods because that's where the power is. And she's been sharing some very important information to us and about the power of the seed and sowing and everything that is in us we already need. And to me, Pearl, it's like our greatest competition is just a seed. A seed, like a kernel of corn, is our competition. Can we be as obedient as a tiny seed? and are there any
Deborah,
anyone who's on them. There who's?
Yes. Oh no, I'm sorry. 504-357. My fault. Oh wait. No, that's our guest. I just got my eyes the other day. I need to have glasses, but I'm too vain to put them on. So, yes.
You know,
five,
and just like
three,
you said, Jesse Jack.
577 opened your mic.
Yeah, thank you.
Is that me?
Yes, that's you.
Oh, awesome. Thank you,
right,
thank you for having me. Oh, mama joy. Oh, it's such a joy to be here and to hear your speaker. There are so many thoughts that have been going through my mind as I sit here and cleaning my greens that I got from the garden. I mean, not my garden, but somebody else's garden. I only look at and sit and watch the growth of the gardens and the trees and the folks. But I am so inspired from the conversation that has been had with Miss Pearl and the wisdom that you are spewing. And I certainly hope that the nurturers who will hear this conversation will understand what they have. When you started talking about the positivity that your mother instilled in you. And I just thought about the multiplication of how that infused you and how you're now infusing others to think and to react. And I hope that anybody who hears that will recognize that their responsibility or what their actions are will duplicate what their output is in the future. You learned, and you weren't always perfect, and you're still learning, and with all of us. Oh, I just like, yes, ding, ding, ding on all of those topics, and not wanting to have the responsibility of being a nurturer necessarily, but knowing that that's what we are. We're from seed, and we are developing along the way until we are no longer here. And then even when some folks go in the ground, whatever method they get in the ground, whether it be dried up ash or however, that's like compost. So
yes.
They're feeding soil even more. So what we say will spew out in infinity. So I want to thank you for feeding my soul and feeding all those who are going to hear this conversation. So, and also I wanted to go, I'm a product of Block Club. We've been on our block. My family has been on our block for over 40 years. And the Block Club kind of went by the wayside. We don't gravitate like we used to because it got hard. It got a lot of work. And the older people who were on the block, they passed on, and the families did not keep that up. But I know that even with communication, it is necessary. So we still have somewhat of a phone Rolodex. When something goes on, we're making a call. Even though we don't get out and talk as we should, we're making a call. And I remember being in an apartment building in my years. We had that block club mentality in that apartment building. because if something happens in your apartment, it may affect my apartment. So you have to have that communication, and it's not like you're being nosy and trying to be in anybody's business. You're just trying to take care of your family and your surroundings. And also, one more thing, Naima shared with us last year that not only the block has to have some kind of function, but, you know, you got the neighbor to your rear on the other side of your alley. For most of us who have alleys in the city of Chicago, or if you just you don't have an alley, your yard is butting up against someone else's yard. So that's your neighbor that you need to have communications with. So that is something I wanted to share. Thank you all for having me. And if I didn't say what my name was in the beginning, I'm Deborah with Move Around with Deborah.
I was going to ask you what your name and where you were calling from. Right. Thank you so much.
Yes.
So welcome. Thank you. I'm in Victory Heights.
Oh, Victory Heights.
Old school. Yes, Chicago old school neighborhood.
Any comments for her, please?
I think a lot of people have been really inspired by this show because it shows what we can do when we just decide to do it. And I think we make things too complicated, you know, thinking we got to get somebody's approval or, you know, somebody has to pass a law. We waste a lot of time trying to get politicians to do things we can just go ahead and do. And Ms. Pearl, I'm so grateful that you are demonstrating that all you need is a made-up mind and you can make things happen. We don't need an act of Congress to just, you know, go and meet your neighbor, go and plant a seed, go and talk to some children. We don't need anybody to do something in order for us to change this situation. That's the biggest message that I've gotten out of what's been said today. Everything we need is already in our hands. So, Ms. Pearl, what would you say to people who are kind of stuck on being angry at, you know, people who discriminate or people who won't share their money, resources, and saying, well, you know, these people, if they would just do this, then we could do that. You know, what would you say to them so they can get out of that, stuck out of that rut and thinking that someone else has to do something before they can just start?
Okay. And, again, I want to say thank you. Again, for the platform and the space, what I would, in terms of what you've addressed, to be clear.
If you turn the volume up a little bit.
Okay. Can you hear me better? Can you hear me better?
Yeah.
Can you hear me better? Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of what you're saying, one of the words that come to mind is remediation, right? Remediation. And sunflowers are one of the greatest remediators of soil. In areas, particularly Black American people we've lived in environmental toxic waste dumps that were intentional in the ways that they have dumped toxins that have affected our health, asthma and bronchial issues. But sunflowers have a natural, innate ability to extract toxins from the soil and then pull them out of the soil to replenish it. Mushrooms are great at that. They're great at pulling things out of the soil. And in terms of our anger, anybody that knows me, that I'm very clear about the agitation that I often feel from the ideology of a white prioritized system. So I'm very vocal about it. But I've learned how to be an alchemist or a sunflower, meaning that I don't negate or I'm not living in oblivion about what is taking place and how it affects a human being growing in those positions. But what I'm saying is melanin has the ability to transmute chlorophyll from the sun and elements, and it pulls carbons out. What I'm saying is that being aware of what is going on is just the beginning of igniting your power and activating your potential. The things that agitate you most are the things that you were brought here to transform and change. You are an agent of power. That's why you feel what you feel. So the anger may just be the beginning of activation, but it certainly is not the ending. So you are aware of what is happening, but you are the prayer that is going to remediate the soil in our environment and transform the consciousness and bring people to inspire them as to their potential and their response ability in regards to why they're feeling what they're feeling. The feeling is not enough, but the feeling becomes the incubator by which we are able to empower ourselves, knowing that everything that we have, everything that is in our space, is everything that we need. Like Naima said, oftentimes we sit waiting for someone to do what we were called to do. I would often find, and still do, people love to tax those that are already doing with more problems. People, I remember being younger and people like, I wish Pearl was here. They saw something take place and they wanted me to be there to change what they were a witness to. And that's when I learned very, very young that oftentimes people are called to things, but they tend to look, everybody's searching for a hero. They're searching for someone to do what it is that they've been commissioned to do. So I do not relieve people from their responsibility. I walk in the grace that is mine, meaning that I know what I have the strength. I'm not trying to be a hero. I don't need to be celebrated by people in order to be valid, because people are always looking for someone to be exalted so that we can ultimately fail them, because we will. Not because we fail, but because people's expectations always supersede their sort of, it supersedes their willingness to change what it is that they have a problem with. So whatever it is, whatever the environment is, if something aggravates you, start moving. It begins with maybe cleaning out that closet that you have been neglecting, or the purse, or the wallet, or the people in your life, or relationships that ultimately do not align with the things that we've called to do. Take courage and begin to remediate the soil in your own life first, so that you'll never be greater for others than you are to yourself, so that we're never ever representations so that others can find approval, but then we're going home to deal with the mess that we have neglected. Deal with that garden first, the garden in our minds, the garden in our thoughts. Deal with the soil that we have allowed for others to litter with words and the things that we have been complicit with in terms of the fact that we have accepted messages that don't align with our purpose. Be that garden first, the first garden itself, because we'll never be able to do more for others than we first do to ourselves. Love thy neighbor as you love yourself. And that's the first garden, is being mindful of the thoughts that constantly resist change. Thoughts that constantly resist our ability to expand. Thoughts that constantly negate our worth and our value. Thoughts that constantly negate our purpose and power. Celebrate the things you've overcome and acknowledge that power. Acknowledge what you have done to transform your life and stand in that, not because you need for others to acknowledge, but because you will be resolute in knowing that what it is that you have been able to do to accomplish the person that you are today took work, and honor that sacrifice. Honor it. Just honor it.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Pearl. Thank you, Pearl. Oh, well, Naima, Pearl, that's a wonderful way. That's just a wonderful closure for us for the day.
Absolutely.
Oh, my
that was
God.
Powerful.
Oh. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
So mm-hmm. Now give us some contact information for those who want to get involved, for those who may want to come and speak to their community group. How do they reach you?
My name is Pearl Ramsey. Pearl Black Pearl is my artist name. You can find us on Facebook at the Neighborship Network. You can also email me at Black, B-L-A-C as in Charles, K as in kite, Pearls with a Z, P as in purple, E
as in Edward, A as in Apple, R as in Robert, L as in Larry, Z as in Zebra, World, WORLD, Black Pearls World, at gmail.com. And one last thing, my mom keeps saying the community, but the part that she's missing that I just want her to acknowledge is I called it the community joy garden because of my mother and because of the virtue. So I just need for that to be known. It's called the community joy garden because I'm not waiting for history to write her legacy. I'm going to make sure I write it myself. Her name is community joy garden after my mother.
All right. Oh, that is so powerful. The community. Community? The community joy garden. That is so powerful. And give us that address again of where it's located.
9001 South Dauphine Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. 9001 South Dauphine Avenue in Chicago, Illinois.
All right. Wonderful. Well, Mama Joy, last words of wisdom before we go. We've got about a minute before we wrap up.
Well, I tell you, I just want to say thank you to my daughter. She always amazes me. I've known her all of her life, but she never ceased to amaze me with the anointing that the Creator has given to her. And I want to thank her for taking time as she was a part of an event herself today at the I Am assisting, serving of food to the disabled. So I'm grateful, and again, I'm just reiterating some of the things that she says and saying that what is being done here can be done elsewhere. Come and join us because we are striving to make what we do local, global, and it's just a word. Just start with a good word, and let's be that seed of thought that will be changing the world. We can do it. If you can conceive it, you can achieve it. So let us bring the hope and the love and all that we desire to our community as we learn to love ourselves. Love your neighbor as we learn to love ourselves and make this planet our home and bring that heaven on earth that we all desire. H-O-M-E, heaven on Mother Earth. We'll be the mom and dad these days in our community. All right? Time to grow up, people. Let's mother this planet back to its healing and its purpose through us.
All right.
Okay?
There we go. H-O-M-E. Heaven on Mother Earth. Love it. There you go. Global radio.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Cheche, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Jean-Claude, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Medasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur,
Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Great.